allowing us to gather together. Lord, you've gathered us here in this small town of Elmont, Michigan, by thy sovereign power. We've come, Lord, seeking to hear a word from thy holy scriptures. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate the scriptures and teach us more and more of our Lord Jesus. And we who are your blood-bought people desire just to sit before thee, O Lord, and to be in awe of who you are and what you've done for us. May you be glorified. May you be magnified tonight through the preaching of thy word. May you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The name of the message is, He Shall Be Great. He shall be great. In the text we're going to look at tonight, we're see proclaim very clearly the greatness of our Savior. The greatness of our Savior. We're seeing the two verses which we look at, a fivefold proclamation of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read our text and consider and pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us and teach us the things of Christ. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And when she saw him, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The subject tonight that we'll be considering is the greatness of our Savior. The greatness of our Savior far transcends all utterance that we could speak upon this subject. Someone might say, well, I already know that the Lord is great, yes, but you could speak for eternity and never come to even close to being at the end of the greatness of our God and who He is. And who He is. We could study all our lifetime on the greatness of Christ and never exhaust the subject. Jesus is the one that no amount of speaking of His greatness could ever reach the height of His glory. No amount of speaking on His greatness could ever reach the height of His glory. As one commentator brought forth, he said this, The simplest words are best suited to a subject so sublime. Fine words would be but cheap things to hang beside the unspeakable glorious Lord. I can say no more than, He is great. He is great. If I could tell forth His greatness with choral sympathies of cherubim, yet should I fail to reach the height of this great argument. I will be content if I can but touch the hem of the garment of His greatness. It's wonderful. It sums it all up, doesn't it? We could never exhaust the subject. Tonight I'd like us to consider the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this proclaimed in verses 32 and 33 in a fivefold way. declared by Gabriel in his announcement to Mary of the incarnation and birth of our Lord and Savior. The verses here before us contain the most beautiful and uplifting things ever revealed to man. May God the Holy Spirit illuminate the Scriptures and teach us that we may be filled with wonder, faith, love, and praise for our wonderful Savior as we behold the greatness of our King. The greatness of our King. Let's read the text again. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. My, my. Our Lord is great from many points of view. And again, if we were to sit and just speak of all his greatness, then our minds would fail us. Our minds would fail us. Our lives would fail us. Time would fail us. And there could be no end to the speaking of the greatness of Christ and his perfection. One could speak of it for eternity and not find the end of it. Not find the end of it. So the Scripture here proclaims the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 32 again. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. Note the proclamation by Gabriel here, the fact of the greatness of our Lord. The fact of it. He shall be great. It's not he may be. He shall be great. Because he's already great. When Gabriel is proclaiming this, he's the Word of God in glory. He's already great, beloved. He's already great, but he shall be great in his incarnation, in his condescension. He shall be great. And so here is the first glimpse of the greatness of Christ, because he's great in all he does. Everything he does, he's great in. Christ is great in all his offices. He's prophet, far surpassing any other prophet. He's the one the prophets spoke of. He's the one the prophets spoke of. He's our priest. And in his office as our priest, he is far superior. He's our great high priest. He's far superior than any other high priest, any other one who has ever served. Christ alone is the high priest of God's people. He's king. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And all kings which have ever lived pale in comparison to our great King. Pale in comparison. They don't even come on the radar, beloved. They don't even come on the radar in comparison to the greatness of our King. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is far greater than all who went before him, and far greater than all who will come after him. And we would do well to remember that we are but dust. We are but dust. And he is God Almighty. He is God Almighty. Oh, he's great. He's great in his person as God-man. This child which shall be born shall be great. Because it says he's the Son given. He's the Son given. He's the mighty God. He's that great and famous one that the prophet Moses spoke of. He's the one who all the prophets spoke of. The one who is mighty both in word and deed. Both in word and deed. Mighty and great in his doctrine and great in his miracles, which testified of who he was, God incarnate in the flesh. Again, he's great in his office as king. As king. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. The whole of his office, ruling and reigning as a supreme Savior over all things visible and invisible. And he's great in his high priestly office, being a great high priest for his people. Both who he is in himself as our high priest, and he is great in the fact that right now he is interceding for us He's our high priest right now, beloved. Right now in glory. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. He's the greatest mediator. He's great in his position as mediator for his people. Think of how many people have mediated different things in this world. Nothing even comes close to our mediator. He's the great mediator for his people between God and man. Between God and man. He's great in the fact that he's our Savior. Because he alone is the only Savior of sinners. There's no hope outside of Christ. He's the only Savior of sinners. Outside of Christ, what happens? All perish, don't they? They all perish. They all perish. Oh, but in Christ, all are safe. We're safe in the Beloved. We're safe in Christ. And he is the author of that great salvation. His salvation's great, and he's the author of this great salvation. He's the one who planned it and purposed it. Therefore, it's a great salvation because he's a great God. He's a great God. Oh, he's the only. Think of this. Think of this too. He's a great Savior. Why? Because we're great sinners, aren't we? I need a great Savior. Do you? Because I'm a great sinner. I need a great Savior. And he's a great Savior. Oh, my. All our sins are forgiven in him. And the sinner can only find pardon and forgiveness in Christ alone. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. He alone is the one who worked out and accomplished the great salvation, the great redemption that his people have in him. The salvation's of the Lord. It's all his doing. The great one has accomplished our salvation. And his greatness is also displayed in his divine perfections. In his divine perfections, his works upon this earth. And the fact that he is God incarnate in the flesh. The greatness of Christ is displayed in his miracles that he wrought. And again, those miracles which he wrought were proofs of his deity. Were proofs of his deity. He made blind man see. He raised the dead. He made the lame walk. He cast out demons. They cried, they fell down before him, these demons, and they said, "Thou art the Holy One." Yeah, they knew who he is. They know how great he is, and they fear him. They fear him. Oh, he's the great God. He's the great God. The greatness of Christ is displayed again in his miracles that he wrought, which were proofs of his deity and proofs of his messiahship, too. And again, His greatness is displayed in the work of redemption. In the work of redemption. Which he alone accomplished. Which he alone accomplished. It's also displayed by the resurrection of himself from the dead. And where he is right now. Where he is right now. He's in glory right now. Interceding for his people. Right now. My, what comfort that brings my soul to know that my King is mediating for me with the Father. Oh my. He is my advocate. Is he yours? Oh my. And he is highly exalted right now, far above all principality and power. Look at verse 32 again. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. Note the next proclamation of the greatness of our Savior. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Highest. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son. He is the Word of God incarnate. Incarnate. He's called the Son of the Highest. The text proclaims, beloved, that he is the most high one. Oh, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. Beloved of God, not by creation, as angels and men are, or by adoption as the saints of God, but by nature. He is the eternal Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God. Of the same nature as the Father and the Holy Spirit, and equal to them. Oh, he is the Son of the Highest. And he was not now to become the Son of God. No, he was the Son of God before his incarnation. Oh my. from all eternity. This portion here speaks of his incarnation. Speaks of his incarnation, of the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Fully God, and yet fully man. Son of the Highest. Proclaimed, known, and acknowledged to be the Son of God. The Word incarnate in human nature. And he proved this again by the works which he accomplished. He proved this by the works that he accomplished. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. And again, he showed this by his miracles and by his resurrection. Note now the greatness is also, his greatness is proclaimed in the fact, let's look at our text again, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. Note here, his greatness is proclaimed in the fact that the Lord shall give to him the throne of his father David. Beloved of God, our Savior is the only one who has the right to rule the universe. Turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 2, and then put your finger in Romans chapter 14. Psalm chapter 2 and Romans chapter 14. Our Lord is the only one who has the right to rule all the universe as the God-man mediator. Look at this in Psalm chapter 2. We'll read verses 7 and 8, and then we'll read Romans 14, verses 9 to 12. Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8. I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Our Lord has all power, beloved. He's the Son of the Highest. He has all power. This is the one who keeps my soul. Is he the one who keeps yours? This is the one, this is the Savior of my soul. Oh, I pray if it's not for you, not so for you, that God would make it so. The Scriptures declare that all will stand before the Lord. Look at Romans 14:9. Romans 14:9. Oh, he has all power. He's been given the throne of his father David. He has all power and he is upon the throne. Romans chapter 14. All will stand before the Lord. Romans 14, verses 9 to 12. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we'll see our fourth point here in verse 33. Our fourth point about the greatness of our Lord. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. No end. Beloved, he reigns over the house of Jacob, and he will reign over his people forever. He is the head, and we are the body. The church and her king. The bride and the bridegroom. Our Lord did not come here to rule as a king over that little piece of land called Israel, beloved. He didn't come to rule for a few hundred years or a short time, no. Our Lord rules and reigns right now. Right now in glory. Our Lord rules and reigns. He is a triumphant king. His reign is over all, saved and unsaved. And his kingdom is a kingdom of vast domain. It comprises all things everywhere. In his kingdom, his people. It says here, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob. Beloved, that's the Israel of God. That's God's people. And he reigns over us. And that people comprises both Jews and Gentiles, saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed by our great God and King. David reigned over the Edomites and the Syrians as well as others. He reigned over the house of Judah and Israel, but this son here shall reign both over Jews and Gentiles. He shall reign over both Jews and Gentiles, and his kingdom shall be from one end of the earth to the other. From one end of the earth to the other. Over all the elect of God, who in successive generations call themselves by the name of Jacob and surname themselves by the name of Israel. Oh, my beloved. No matter what nation they be of, they are the house of Jacob. They are the house of Jacob. And note here it says at the latter part of this verse that the reign of our great God and King shall be eternal. Shall be eternal. And this is the fifth point of our Lord's greatness found in our text. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. No end. No end. Our Lord's kingdom is an eternal one. He rules as king in Zion forever. One commentator brings forth about our Lord's kingdom. All the kingdoms of this world have been and are designed of God only for the building of the kingdom of our God and his Christ. Because we are all drawn out of various places. The kingdoms of this world are only the scaffolding by which our God builds his kingdom. Like Nineveh, Babylon, Egypt, Tyre, Carthage, Rome, the British Empire, and the Soviet Union, all the nations and the empires of the world shall perish. And all men shall be made to bow before this great and glorious King who shall reign forever, forever. And his rule is eternal, beloved. It'll never, ever end. Never, ever end. Daniel, turn to Daniel, if you would. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. We'll see this proclaimed in Daniel chapter 7. And then we'll go to Philippians chapter 2. We'll see this fact proclaimed here, that our great God and King shall reign forever. Forever. And this is the one who we can draw great comfort from, beloved of God, because this is the one who has saved us. This is the one who has redeemed us. The Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the King. And his kingdom shall never end. Daniel chapter 7, look at verses 13 to 14, and then we'll look at verse 27. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and language should serve him. Remember, God's people are taken out of all different places, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. His dominion is a what? Everlasting dominion. And everlasting. Which what? Which shall not pass away, beloved. In his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. My, that's our God. That's our Savior. Be what will come our way. That's the one who we rest in, beloved. That's the one who we trust in. The one who the Scripture says that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It'll not be destroyed. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. That's the keeper of our souls. Then look at verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom, it's his kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. And all dominions shall serve and obey him. Everything is in subjection to our great God. Everything. And his kingdom will be forever, and it is forever. There has never been a time when our Lord has not ruled. He's king, beloved. He's king. Now turn to Philippians chapter 2. So we saw it there proclaimed in the Old Testament. Let's look now over there in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 to 11. 1 to 11. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let us each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. This speaks of his incarnation. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. He left the glories of heaven and came to this world to die, to live the perfect life, and to die on Calvary's cross. He humbled himself, beloved. And he became obedient unto death. Never forget that he became obedient unto death for you and I. He was sinless. He's perfect. He's spotless. He did this for his people. He did this for his bride. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Well, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, beloved. We saw that over in Daniel, where his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, a dominion that'll never end. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Even those people who have shaken their fists at God will be made to bow their knee. Be made to bow their knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All to the glory of God the Father. My. So ponder then, beloved, the greatness of our Lord. Ponder the perfection of his nature. Ponder the fact that he has no peers. None. No peers at all. No peers at all. He is incomparable in greatness. Incomparable in greatness. And the fact that he is fully God and yet fully man, he's perfect and sinless, should just leave us in awe. Should just leave us in awe at the greatness of our Savior. He's incomparable. Incomparable. And ponder the greatness of his offices. He came to be our prophet, our priest, and our king, and he fulfilled all those offices gloriously and beyond compare. Beyond compare. And think of the greatness of his condescension. He leaves heaven and comes to this sin-cursed world. Comes to this world to redeem his people, to die for us. And he does it willingly. And he goes to the cross willingly to die for another. Would you die for someone else? Would you die for what they've done? Lord Jesus Christ goes to the cross willingly. In great love to redeem sinners. Sinners. My. To redeem his people from all their sins. So think of the greatness of the condescension of our Lord. And how great is Christ in the eyes of his people for doing that. When I ponder that the Lord Jesus Christ left the glories and splendor of heaven to save a worm like me, because that's what we are in the eyes of the Lord, that he came to save a worm like me, I am absolutely amazed, beloved. I am absolutely amazed. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And so, in the eyes of those who are redeemed, how great is our God? How great is our Savior? He's incredible. Where is it not true that words can't even express how we feel in our souls for him? How great he is to us? My, he's so great. Oh, he comes to this earth and he comes to this earth and accomplishes that great salvation. The great one, he shall be great, comes and accomplishes a great salvation. And think of how great it is. He has saved a number that no man can number by his death. And the believer says, I'm one of the number. And we're amazed. We're absolutely amazed. Oh, and he came and he accomplished the salvation on Calvary's cross. He purchased our souls, beloved. He purchased us with his own precious blood. My. And how great he is. How great he is to his people. And to accomplish this great salvation, he came to be our Savior. You know, Savior means rescuer. He rescued me. Did he rescue you? He rescued me from my sins. He rescued me from God's law. He rescued me from God's wrath. And he rescued me by dying for me. That's why we say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's no other hope. There's no other hope but Christ. None. None. If you're hoping yourself, and that's anyone outside of Christ is hoping in their own self-righteousness, whether they admit it or not. And there's no hope. There's no hope in our works. But there's hope in the one, the whole one, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, he's the standard bearer among 10,000, beloved. And I ask you who are his blood-bought people, who is like our Savior? Who's like our Savior? There's no one greater, is there? There's no one greater, beloved. No one. No one. No one at all. Oh my. No one at all in all eternity who is as great as our Savior. Think of the greatness of his achievements. He is the one who has finished the work of salvation. It's complete. It's absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. And you know what? It's so perfect that if man tries to add something, they mess it up and they're not saved. Because the salvation is perfect. It's the only one God will accept. The only one. His sacrifice. His sacrifice. Oh my. He's finished the work of salvation for his people. And he alone has done this. And think of this, you who are his blood-bought people. He alone has done this. He alone has accomplished this. Does this not make him great in your eyes? Oh my. What a great Savior. What a great Savior. And he did this because he loved us. And that love is a great love, beloved. It's an everlasting love. It's a love we can't even come near and close to. Oh my. Oh my. Conquerors are great, but he's the greatest conqueror of all because he conquered all my sin. Oh my. And a believer can say that, can't we? We can say that. He conquered not just my sin, but he conquered the sin of all the elect of all the ages. He conquered Satan. He's the conqueror. He's a victorious conqueror, beloved. Oh my. He's conquered all our enemies. Sin was a great enemy of ours, wasn't it? Oh yeah. He's conquered it for his people. The law of God was our enemy because it declared us. It declared us sinners. It's holy. It's right. The law of God is wonderful. But to the unsaved man, it's their enemy. Oh my. We hated it. And yet that perfect law demanded satisfaction. And the Lord Jesus Christ lives the perfect life in the room and place of his people. And Scripture says the soul that sinneth it must die. So the Lord Jesus Christ goes as the great substitute and dies in the place of his people at Calvary's cross. The sinless one dying for sinners. Oh my. Deliverers are great, but he is the greatest deliverer of all. Because he has delivered his people from all their sins. Again, he's also delivered his people from the wrath and justice of God. Liberators are great, but he's the greatest liberator of all. He's the greatest liberator of all. Because if the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Ye shall be free indeed. He's the greatest emancipator. My goodness. Rescuers are great. People rescue people, that's great. We think that's wonderful. Beloved, he's the greatest rescuer because he's rescued us from the penalty and power of all our sins. Beloved, he's the greatest rescuer. My. And what has he done? He's bestowed everlasting joy upon his people. I rejoice in my Savior. Rejoice if you're saved. Rejoice. We are free in Christ. We are free in Christ. He's given us eternal life. And it's all based upon what he's done. Nothing we've done. We need to rejoice, beloved. We need to rejoice. This is his work. Think of the greatness of the results of his work, too. Think of the greatness of the results of his work. We have eternal life. We have the forgiveness of all our sins, past, present, and future. Why? What a great Savior. And then think of this. We have all spiritual blessings in him. All of them. And he who is called great in our text is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read our text one more time. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever in his kingdom. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So consider the greatness of our Savior this week as we're at home or at work. Ponder and meditate upon the greatness of our Savior. The greatness of our Savior. Ponder the greatness that he's bestowed upon you who are in Christ. Because it's a great pardon. And remember, we couldn't pay for one sin. But in Christ, all our sins are forgiven. All of them. It's wonderful. So think upon the great pardon that he bestows upon this people. And think of right now. And think of when you're at work and when you're at home. In all times, he's a great mediator. He never stops being our mediator. Ever. Ever. He's ever watching over us. And he's our great mediator before God. He intercedes for his people before the throne of God. So in Christ, the believer has a great deliverance. They have a great peace, a great rest. And it's all found in Christ alone. And they have great joy. When we're down and we start to think about who our Savior is, think about the greatness of who our God is. Think of how great he is. It'll lift your spirits. It'll lift you up. Oh, he's so great. He's so great. And then one day, beloved, one day in the believer, we're excited about this day. One day we'll breathe our last breath here. And we will be in the presence of the Great One forever. Forever. We'll see the One. We will see our great Savior. We will see the One who's called great in our text. We'll see Him face to face. And the only reason we'll see Him is because of Him and because of what He's done. Oh my. We will see the Great One, the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. Face to face. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've had together. Oh Lord, we pray, praise Thee as we look at how great Thou art. You are wonderful, Lord. You are amazing. And as the proclamation comes forth from Gabriel, He shall be great. Oh Lord, You are a great Savior, a great rescuer, liberator, and emancipator of Your people. You've done it all for us, love. Or Lord, you've done it all for us, and we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for your goodness and mercy and grace. We pray that you'd be glorified and magnified. We pray that we would take the things that we've heard tonight and that we've looked at, and, oh Lord, that they would be brought to remembrance this week, and may they be a balm to our soul. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.